listening to Fox Sports Radio.
We saw the NBA trade deadline come and go. It ended at 3 Eastern time, noon Pacific, earlier on Thursday. And the big news is that there was no news regarding Anthony Davis. He is still a member of the New Orleans Pelicans. Thus, the Lakers unable to pull off the trade that they had been trying to get done all throughout the course of the week. So, RJ, what is the Vegas perspective on the Lakers now that they move on without Anthony Davis?
We're going to take advantage of the round table here, right? We're here in Vegas, and we've got a pro to my right, a pro to my left. Jonas, voice of the fans in LA. I disagree with almost everybody I've heard about the Lakers and the way things have gone. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to have a full segment debate. I'm going to let everyone have their say, and then one by one, shoot it down. And I won't do it with maliciousness, just with the welfare of the audience in mind. So, Steve Fezzik, we're going to let you start out. NBA originator, which means you make your bets in the NBA mostly from your own take. You have an amazing network of bettors that you trade info with, but you originate in the NBA and NFL. That's your two main sports. I'll let you, there's a lot of entry points to this conversation. Pick and choose, dealer's choice, main take.
Stick a fork in the Lakers the rest of the year. I think they will be overvalued by the marketplace. It's a team, RJ.
So let's be clear. One of the things that we've got to do, you can be, you know, remember in The Godfather where Vito, the Don, said women and children can be careless, a man can't be careless, right? Is regular talk show guys, they can be careless. They can use sloppy words, sloppy logic. Sloppy logic, lazy logic will lead to losing in our business in Vegas. So it's our job. The listener, they can lean back, relax. We'll delve in. We'll deal it out. We'll figure it out. You know, maybe you'll agree with this. Maybe you won't. But we're not going to be lazy. So when you say stick a fork in the Lakers, you're talking about betting them or not betting them in individual games.
Correct. And okay. I am looking to bet either against them or to pass the rest of the year. I don't believe the marketplace is going to reflect enough the bad chemistry of this team, a bunch of players feeling that they were expendable at the trade deadline.
Okay, so in your mind, the Lakers are going to be overrated, not where they're going to lose every game, but hey, over the course of many games, if you fade them, you might win 55, 56%. So you won't do it every game, but you'll do it often.
Correct.
Okay. So let's agree to the following. If you are accurate in that thought, if it ends up being the case, that's valuable for the guys playing NBA daily in February. Not a majority of our audience. So what we'll do is we're going to talk Lakers Celtics at the end of the hour and actually give a free pick on the game. So let's set the whole concept of day-to-day picks, Lakers or anybody aside, except the fact there might be value there. We'll address it end of the hour during the pick segment of the show. So other than that, let's look at it from the Lakers' perspective. Your big fist-pounding proclamation, how does that hurt? If the Lakers don't cover the spread, it doesn't really hurt them, right?
No, it doesn't.
All right. So what is the consequence for the Lakers? It seems like the sense is the Lakers have lost something here. What have they lost?
Well, I think they've lost their opportunity to compete for a title and even for the playoffs this year. There's going to be an evaluation.
So you felt like if they had gotten Anthony Davis for the price that was being offered, in fact, even for the price that was turned down, if they have gotten Anthony Davis, you think they were competitive for the title?
They had a possibility to be
competitive. So give me some odds.
Well, I did before. I said if they made the playoffs.
No. Whoa. What you did before, we assumed they would give up 3 of their 6 viable players, right?
Yes.
And now the offer that was turned down was like 8 of their 8 viable players. So your old numbers don't really apply. So with the trade that was turned down, what do you think the odds of the Lakers winning the title, if it were accepted, had been accepted by the Pelicans, where do you put the Lakers' odds?
30-1.
All right, so 3%.
Yes.
So what they've given up is a 3% chance to win the title.
Yes.
The Lakers. Okay. Anything else?
No.
So really, you're saying the Lakers have lost almost nothing.
In terms of titles expected to win the next 5 years,
what else
correct.
Is there? What else is there?
You're right. They've lost nothing.
Okay, doesn't seem too convincing.
They've lost the possibility to make a legitimate run to the playoffs, too.
And now that's interesting. RJ Bell straight out of Vegas, just mowing down the descent. First one's about, there's a timber, we should get a timber sound effect here. We'll see what Brad or Jonas has. So, Brad, how you got something?
I got something.
Oh, interesting. Here's the question. If LeBron James went, let's say, into the second round, and lost in the second round of the Western Conference, what does that gain the Lakers? Because let me walk through it quickly. On one hand, you would say, wow, the team gets used to going into the playoffs, and I guess that's it. It's reps. It's experience. To me, if you kind of weigh LeBron James and the mileage on his legs with like almost zero chance to win the title, against getting experience for players that Magic has now made clear are not part of the future of the Lakers, I'm just not sure there's... I guess there's playoff money to be made from tickets, but it's a rounding error, it would seem. So I think usually getting playoff reps is very important. I think what the Celtics did last year and advancing as far as they did was hugely valuable. It just feels like a different situation to me. Do you want to really strongly counterpoint that?
Well, it's a unique situation because had they made the playoffs, they'd be facing Golden State in the first round. And I don't know if that would be a positive or a negative to run into the first round.
Yeah, but we don't know for sure that they wouldn't have got the seventh seed.
Would have been really difficult.
We're acting like there's no chance of them making it. What's the odds of them making the playoffs, the Lakers, right now?
Currently, the latest number, 25%.
Okay, so you're acting like it's past tense, but you're saying it's 1-4.
Yes, but I would love to bet against them making the playoffs.
So you think it might be even, I don't know, 21%?
I think it's more like 15.
Wow, you just think that. So you're saying that 538 is where you're getting the number?
Yes.
So they've got their ELO algorithm and all that, but you just think at a glance their number's off by like almost 50%. Wow.
Yes, I do.
It must be easy for you to win. I mean, you could just glance at algorithms and think they're wrong. Not by enough to bet it, but like, you know, you should cut that number in half. You'd be closer there, buddy, with your slide rule and your calculator.
Well, anyone who wants the Lakers at 6-1 to make the playoffs.
Whoa. No, okay. I mean, it's easy to say that. You know, no one's going to take it. So I can tell you feel backed against the corner. So I'll just say we'll let the audience decide who won that. I won't make any great commentary. Oh, wait. I guess I'm saying I won. All right, Brad Powers. Now, college is your specialty. So, you know, I'll be easy on you initially. Make your case.
All right. So, I mean, the Lakers' ultimate goal here is to win a title. But the reality was the Lakers...
In the next 5 years.
Next 5 years. But the reality was the Lakers, no matter what they were going to do this year, probably weren't going to win the title this year. So, to me, the major goal for the Lakers is getting that next piece alongside of LeBron. And I thought this whole season was about this upcoming July. Not anything that happened during the season. But what happens? Can they get that next piece this upcoming July when the free agent market really opened up for them? So to me, yeah, this season kind of looks like a loss, but big picture, I don't think the Lakers have lost that much, RJ.
What have they lost? Because here's the thing to me. Everyone's saying, oh, who looks really bad is Clutch Sports. What looks really bad is the Lakers front office. And Colin today on The Herd was, you know, get off of TMZ, don't email bloggers, don't think about your brand, like kind of talking to Magic. All right, come on. Talking to Magic about brand and saying the idea that there's some big, huge loss here. And then the phrase being used by Colin was, the Lakers got played. Well, listen, I can promise you something. I could walk up to someone that has a jalopy out in the parking lot of our offices. And luckily, we're in a nice part of town, not a lot of jalopies. But let's say I could go to a jalopy neighborhood. And a jalopy-esque neighborhood. And I could offer them $1 million in cash for their car. And they could look at me and go, no way, buddy. You're not hustling me. Now, At that point, you can't win with that person. Now, I'm not sure the Pelicans made a bad move here. A lot of people are saying, I heard, I think it was Mannix on Colin saying, well, you know, when Boston gets in it, maybe the Knicks get in it in the summer. Who's to say? But the idea that the Lakers got played, I get it. Maybe the talk radio, you know, gibbering and jabbering because they, you know, shows need something to talk about. But to me, it was a free roll, meaning no one expected. And if we would have said a month ago, will Anthony Davis be on the Lakers? The answer would have been, Jonas, let me ask you, month ago, will Anthony, if it, the question were asked, will Anthony Davis be on the Lakers, what would you have said?
No.
Yeah, but percentage-wise, 8%, 5%?
10%, I guess. I'm not good at putting a percentage on it, but I would say no.
Yeah, so a long shot.
Yeah.
Okay, I agree. So somehow through, if we want to, I don't know the definition of collusion and all the union stuff, but somehow, some way, Clutch Sports, it would seem, Anthony Davis, it would seem, it got to be where there was a decent chance, a 20 or 30% chance that the Pelicans would have said, you know something, we don't want this to drag out. You know something, he's been here a long time. He's got a lot of fans here. Football's our main priority anyway. Let's let the Lakers have him. And hey, we'll take three players and a couple draft. It could have been a fire sale at that point. And I'm not saying 100%, I'm not even saying 50%, but some real percentage, 20 or 30%. And then if it didn't happen, if it played this way, no, I'm not taking a million for the car, dum-dum. It's like, oh, God, you just played me. No, right? You just put yourself in a worse situation. I'm not sure the Pelicans did that, but I know the Lakers had almost zero to lose, and I think they've lost almost zero. And I think they had a ton of upside. And Fez, if I told you pick any game tonight, and if it wins, I'll give you $10,000. And if it loses, you don't owe me nothing. If the game loses, did you make a mistake?
No.
In the pick, you might have made a mistake. Did you make a mistake rolling?
It's a free roll.
It's
I love
a free
it.
Roll. I feel like the conclusion here is the Lakers had little to gain unless they made a play. They made a play behind the scenes, and after the play was made, they had a real chance to gain, and they had very little to lose.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Guys, the trades that did happen were involving Eastern Conference teams in the NBA. Marc Gasol is headed to Toronto as the Raptors acquire the veteran big man from Memphis. Nikolai Mirotic is now a member of the Milwaukee Bucks on his way from New Orleans. And of course, Tobias Harris, and we discussed this earlier in the week, is now a member of the Philadelphia 76ers after they pulled off a multiplayer trade with the LA Clippers. So RJ, what does Vegas make of the Eastern Conference after deadline has passed?
Yeah, this is another one. Let's go roundtable, baby, here in Vegas. Fez, I'll let you lead off. NBA originator, Steve Fezzik. What's your main? Let's go one take at a time.
The parity in the East is unprecedented. Right now in the NBA, Golden State's the best team. Well, the second, third, fourth, and fifth best teams are all in the East. When was the last time we said that, RJ? And they're all close together in terms of title odds. Boston, Philly, Toronto, Milwaukee. I got to tell you, I think Boston's the best of the four, but it's really close as I've ever seen a conference top four teams.
Okay, so odds I saw from a day or two ago, and Brad, maybe you can give me the updates as you see them. So I saw Boston about 10-1 to win the title, Toronto 10-1, Milwaukee 12-1, Philly 19-1. So what are we seeing? A big upgrade for whom?
Yeah, big upgrade for Philly. They got Tobias Harris, who was the best upgrade of all these trades.
And let's quickly talk about this. We did yesterday, but very quickly, for this year, they gave away a ton in the future for value this year. So for this year, it's an up arrow for the Sixers. For midterm, long-term, down arrow. But for this year, it does improve them.
Absolutely. Hey, they got the Clippers' best player, and the Clippers were projected to make the playoffs, RJ.
Yeah, interesting. Okay. So we are agreeing. So right now we're saying Boston, Toronto, Milwaukee, Philly, throw them in a hamper. And it's, I mean, I hear you like Boston by a smidge, Fez, but if I said you take the bet, you get the first pick, right? you would take Boston.
Absolutely.
To win the East.
Experience and coaching, yes.
And if you would force me to pick one of the four, which would be the one you think has the least chance of the big four in the East, who would you force me to take?
Philly.
All right. So if I had Philly, your number four team, you had Boston, your number one team, what would be the fair odds in your mind? What plus money would I have to get?
I think it should be about plus 150.
Okay, so you're saying that the fourth team and the first team are being split by the difference between plus 100 and plus 150.
Yeah, they're still real close.
Wow, interesting. Brad, any thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, the really only mover was the Bucks from 12 to 1, right around to 10 to 1, RJ. Everyone else is right dead even, like Fez has been saying. Future odds for the overall NBA title, all four of those teams sitting right around 10 to 1.
Now, what's fascinating about the Bucks is I actually power rating RJ right now have the Bucks the best team in the East in terms of day-to-day games right now, but the Bucks are lacking in key playoff experience, and I think it'll be a case where I don't think they're going to get better in the playoffs, and I do think the Celtics, with that experience, will be better in the playoffs.
And it's important to note, the biggest mover is the 76ers. Shop line for them a couple days ago, 76ers were 19 to 1. Now 76ers 10 to 1. That was the biggest one.
So when you said biggest move in the last 24 hours, Milwaukee, in the last couple days, Sixers.
Yes.
Okay. Now, Fezzik said something buried in there that we're going to pull out and examine quickly, which is power ratings in the NBA regular season are different than the postseason. Sometimes it's driven by experience. Sometimes it's driven what percentage of 100% can we expect from a team in a given random night during the regular season. So Golden State would be the most extreme example. The Cavs last season would have been an extreme example. What you could expect on a Tuesday in February, very different than game 7 of a playoff series. A lot of teams, and even the Spurs in their heyday, you were going to get about the same in the regular season and the playoffs. So this year, Golden State's a team there'd be a big upgrade for in the playoffs. Who's another team?
The Celtics are the clear-cut other team. They're basically...
See, I would disagree with that. Really? I would think the depth of the Celtics in the regular season, how deep their rotation is, makes them even a more effective team in the regular season because depth matters so much. In the playoffs, it matters a lot less. And if you really look at the strength of the Celtics, it's not how great 1-6 is. It's how great they are 1-9.
You would think that would be the case.
Well, I do. I wouldn't think. I do think.
But they've been scuffling along. They only outscored their opponent.
Oh, so it's because they're not doing well this year.
Yes.
Oh, wow. Short-term thinking from Fezzik.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
I'm RJ Bell. We are Straight Outta Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, voice of You, the Fan. We've been doing it all week, our look ahead to the favorites to win Super Bowl 54. And then there were two, RJ Bell, voice of Vegas.
Yes, the two favorites left. We've gone up arrow, down arrow. If you haven't listened, it's on the podcast and such. Tomorrow, I think maybe we'll run them down real quick and do a quick recap on each. We got the in different books, we'll have different things. So let's start with Kansas City. I think this one's obvious. It's a young team. The theory is Mahomes handled fresh. He was in situations inexperienced. Quarterbacks usually struggle. I mean, think about it. Went to New England, went to the Los Angeles Rams, the two Super Bowl teams, and only lost by a total of 6 points in those games, right? Almost beat the Patriots. I know they were favored, but boy, in the playoffs, for a first-year starter against Belichick, that just shows you how much pessimism there was about the Patriots, more so than optimism about Kansas City entering that game. Maybe the question should be, Fez, can you even make the case it's not up arrow? Or is it clear Kansas City getting better?
It's pretty clear. The only concern would be Mahomes, a possible sophomore slump, but I don't
see
it happening.
What does that even mean? Who's the last quarterback that had a sophomore slump?
It's been a while.
So you're just like...
Prescott.
Do you have like a book of cliches?
Dak Prescott.
Wouldn't it be funny if he actually pulled out a book and it said a book of sports cliches and it was dog ear to the sophomore slump?
Take it one game at a time.
Yeah, I mean, I would have been great. It would have been like, well, listen, I have two concerns. One, sophomore slump. Two, will the Chiefs take it one game at a time? Only God knows.
That KC, that KCD is very likely to get even better. It just wasn't very good last year.
Yeah, and I think an upgraded defense coordinator getting rid of the nothing against 74-year-olds, but it looked like the game had passed Sutton by their defense coordinator.
Yeah, that's a good point. Up arrow, Chiefs, second favorite, first favorite in some spots.
Next, guys, we have the New England Patriots, the favorite to win Super Bowl 54.
Now, I'm not going to give mine away. I usually give mine. Let's do a quick round table. Up arrow, down arrow, flat, Fez.
Down arrow,
Brady. Right, that's enough, Brady.
Flat.
Flat.
Up arrow. Did you look at the draft choices?
12 of them.
I mean, you let Belichick restock like this, cheap. I wouldn't be surprised if they make a splash sign. Not a splash signing, but one of those, like, you know, third best wide receivers in the NFL on a pretty decent one-year deal type signings, maybe, or even a multi-year deal. The only possible way you could say the other than Brady, can anyone make the case down arrow Patriots?
No.
So it's all about Brady's age?
Yes.
Now, how would you say the last, let's just go in the playoffs. If you added up how many quarterbacks, I get it. He wasn't great in the Super Bowl. I get it. Okay. But if you look at the three playoff games with Brady, how many quarterbacks would you bet would have played better in that spot?
Less than five.
So you're saying the Patriots have the sixth best quarterback in the NFL based on the end of the season against the best competition, but that's why they're getting worse.
Quarterbacks fall off the cliff at 41-42.
Now, just answer soberly, just the number. How many years has it been that you've been talking about Brady falling off a cliff?
4.5.
At least you're honest. Brad, we have two ESPN games, but they're not great games. You've got literally 12 seconds on each.
Yeah, Penn State at Ohio State, situational advantage for the Buckeyes. Lean Ohio State -6.5. They got two extra days rest, back-to-back home games for the Buckeyes. Lean Ohio State -6.5.
Go, go, go.
Iowa at Indiana is the second game. Lean on Iowa +2. To me, it's all about not trusting Indiana. Indiana's off their best performance of the season. The bigger sample size says, hey, this is a bad Indiana team. They had lost 7 straight games prior to that. Lean Iowa +2.
Brad Powers.
Guys, we've got a doubleheader on TNT in the NBA. We start with one of the great rivalries in sports. It's the Lakers at the Celtics, tipping off a little over an hour from now. Boston, a 9-point favorite on pregame.com.
So, Fez, this is all about the mentality of the Lakers.
Yep, I lean Boston -9, and I think the Lakers are discouraged. The attitude is disrupted. Lean Boston.
All right, here's the question, though. What would this line have been if the Lakers were 100%, no mental distractions, nothing?
Boston -7.5.
So it's 7.5 to 9, and that's it. And so all this talk about all these distractions, and it's a 1.5-point adjustment the first game?
Yes.
It seems like you should love the Celtics here.
Yeah, the Lakers just had such a god-awful, horrible performance last game. It is a bounce-back spot.
Okay, so you're saying on one hand, they were so embarrassed. All right, one more NBA game.
After the Lakers and Celtics on TNT, it's the Spurs and the Trailblazers. Portland, a 6-point favorite at home.
I really like the under, 226 in this game. Both
teams. Oh, wait, so NBA total.
Total. Both teams are
hardcore.
Two defenses embarrassed last game. And in particular, the Spurs gave up 141 points against Golden State. RJ, it's the most points the Spurs have given up in regulation time since 1990. Pop is going to be angry. Emphasize defense.
So total points under how many?
Under 226.
And who's playing?
We got Portland and we got San Antonio.
So for the 19 listeners out there who are betting NBA totals, Fez is your hero. For the other 300,000, well, on Twitter, you can complain. It's at Fezzik Sports, F-E-Z-Z-I-K. Tell them, come on, Fezzik, give us a pick that we can enjoy. We know you've got a mansion and a yacht, but what about our mansion and yacht?
If you missed any of today's show, you can check out the podcast on foxsportsradio.com. The Odd Couple is next here. We are straight out of Vegas. Back tomorrow, 6 p.m. Eastern time, 3 o'clock Pacific, right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.